You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
But that's a morning event. We hold that the last Sunday of every month at the Indian River.
The which one?
Cars and Coffee.
And so what does that mean, Cars and Coffee?
Exactly that.
What do you do?
We have vendors, sponsors. We run a swap shop down there. We have 200 to 300 cars show up.
What's a swap shop?
So swap shop is going to be, say you have car parts that have been sitting around in your garage forever.
Okay.
Tires, or you have arts and crafts.
You might have a muffler that I need, and I have a tire
unit
or whatever.
Some of these guys hold swap on to shop. Things, and they're like, I need to find a place to sell this, and so they bring it out. And then we have food trucks. We have live music going on, and again, we routinely do it every month so that people know they can depend that there is a place that they can go and show off their car and to find the same community that they interact with. So it's a great networking event. So we have a lot of fun with that, and we do that the last Sunday of every month in Port St. Lucie.
Because I was just thinking, if you talked about vendors, wouldn't it be nice to have maybe there's a fellow that was in here. You probably know him. He's from down South Florida, but they put up a little display tent. And they do you need prayer for anything?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know who that is, but the people stop. It's a great vehicle. Instead of pushing Jesus on people, you just say, do you need, and we're all going through the, I remember one time I heard a preacher say, everybody in this room in the next month will probably cry at least once. And it's like, everybody with their egos goes, is that me? And you think about it, we all go through the valleys, we all go through the peaks.
So you hit on something very important that's very, very dear to me, and that is you have to be a part of something. You have to, I call it, you can't be a poser. You can't go into the car community and just buy a car and think you're going to immediately network or interact with somebody. They're going to know if you're the true and the real deal or not. And so that is what I am trying to do.
So you can't feign a love for the cars?
No.
No.
You can't. It shows. Yeah. People know that if you're real or fake. Yeah. And if I'm ever going to get through to you, I've got to know your story. And the only way I get to know your story is by building a relationship with you. And that is what we do at these events. I am there to build a relationship with you. And then eventually you're going to trust me enough to open up to me so that I can really start to share wisdom or sow into you or talk to you about the Lord. And we have Jody and Chris who come out, and they're a great couple. They're a husband and wife team, and they do exactly that. I said they wanted to come out and set up a tent. I said, as long as it doesn't have a church name on it, I just wanted to say,
there
need
you
prayer.
Go.
That's all you can say. You need good prayer, and they are there every month.
Really?
Faithfully.
Isn't that wonderful?
And they pray with people all the time, and it's awesome.
That's a great vehicle, too. I learned from a friend recently was if a waitress comes, instead of jumping on or about Jesus, just say, by the way, we're going to pray over our food. Is there anything you'd like us to pray for?
Sure.
And do it,
And that's what they do.
Sometimes they break down crying.
Yeah. Well, they'll put out water and snacks, and people, that's free. Yeah, absolutely. Come up.
That's great.
Take it. Is there anything I could pray with you about? And that just opens the door.
So 21 years of age is when you had a real conversion to Jesus, and that's from hanging around with the right people. Mm-hmm. Was this in college or?
No, I was already out. I went to Bible college for a few years, but it was right before I went to Bible college. Obviously, that's when I found the Lord. And we just, like I said, they just pursued me and really showed me what the love of Jesus looked like. And I was pretty broken at that time. And they spent the time. They built.
Do you want to tell me why you were broken?
Sure. At the age of 11, my parents divorced, and I was pretty much left to figure life out without a father figure.
Devastating.
It's hard, and which is why I'm passionate about men's ministry and working with the youth, and because there's so many fatherless people.
My father was killed in a car accident the day before my fifth birthday, so I know that well.
Yeah, that's tough.
A lot of us out there.
Yep. And so I came into, and the Lord knew it. I had a lot of baggage that I was carrying along with me, and they pursued me and showed me the truth, and man, that was such a release when I let that all go, and really I just broke down, and I was so thankful that the Lord never gave up on me.
Yeah.
And that my friends never gave up on me.
Isn't it amazing what a simple act of kindness or dignity can do for you? I remember going to a this chapel in town. They have the Easter services. Mm-hmm. And one time I was there, and I have no idea. I didn't know this big, you know, man, you know, looks like a great guy. I don't know. We were talking briefly, but he came over and put his hand on my shoulder and talking to me. And it felt so nice to have an older guy, mm-hmm. kind of like, no matter how old you are, it's still, you know, we need each other's companionship. And the difference you can make, a little kindness can make them melt or take their stony heart and give them the heart of flesh. And then they'll be willing to maybe receive our Lord. So,
amen. And I was a little concerned. I won't lie to you. I mean, when we started Shift Culture and we were putting on events, it's predominantly 25 to 35-year-olds. And I'm a 54-year-old guy. How do I connect with them other than, obviously, the cars? But you just said it. It's like when that gentleman came and put his hand on your shoulder, they're looking for that person that just isn't going to judge them, that is going to show love to them and not try and compete with them on their level. I'm there just to be the face of Jesus and to just listen and talk to them and share wisdom with them. And that has been paying off. I've had more people just ask me, how did you get what you got? And that just opens up opportunities for me to share with them.
I'm into this dignity thing now, and I'm actually writing a book about it. It's like when you hold the door open. Oh, first of all, let's start off with a kid. I go into, and this happened recently, I'm going into a store, and this young man, little African-American child, he holds the door open for me. And I said, well, you're a gentleman and a scholar. Well, you can see the big smile. And then that child wants to live up to that. Children are going to get attention one way or the other. If they do something negative, even if you're talking about them, you could be yelling at them, oh, I'm getting attention, or doing good. And then they're going to want to do more of it. Also, the moment that you hold the door open at the post office for somebody, they're going to be in front of you in line. Everybody's trying to put themselves first these days. First of all, it's a good exercise on your tempering your spirit. 100%. But the moment you give dignity, mm-hmm. even if they don't thank you, doesn't matter. You have just given yourself dignity. When we give it, you immediately get it back. Mm-hmm. You've dignified yourself. So I think that we could use some dignity in today's world with everybody, no matter what your political views, no matter what your religious views. Mm-hmm. You know, just like people thinking who maybe have alternative lifestyles that we consider sin. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus certainly wants us to give everybody dignity and love. Amen. Not running around thinking, we don't love you. You are loved. But you got to call sin, sin. Mm-hmm. You know.
Absolutely. That doesn't mean that I'm accepting the sin, but I do want to get to know you.
Yeah, just like God accepts us where we're still unclean.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
100%.
This is totally cool what you're doing, though. Appreciate so Shift Culture. Now, by the way, in case you just tuned in, we're talking with David Lloyd, Shift Culture, and has a business. It's a two-way radio business.
Yep.
And God has prospered you, and so you ended up having these fancy schmancy cars. What category do they go into? What's the category again?
We call them exotics or supercars. It didn't start out that way. It started out, I bought a Corvette back in 2016, and
convertible.
Nope, hard top. Oh. It was a hard purchase for me because my whole life I'd been very conservative about saving money and paying things off and sowing back into the ministry, whether that's through supporting missionaries or what have you. And I really struggled with making that first purchase because.
It felt self-indulgent.
It did. It felt a little bit that way. But that turned into
a ministry.
It did.
An undercover ministry.
And that moved into other muscle cars. And then I migrated from muscle cars to supercars and exotics. And but two-way radio gear is my joy because that started out back in 2003. And, been a long time since I've been in the two-way business, and I can't tell you how, without throwing out crazy numbers, we're one of the largest e-commerce two-way radio dealers in the country, recognized by Motorola, and I get brought into a lot of roundtable discussions about you know, the direction of what we're doing with Two-Way Radio is just because of how successful we've been in the business.
Oh, okay, I'm curious. Why do we still need two-way radios when we have all these cell phones?
So cell phones is a monthly bill. Once you buy a two-way radio, it's you don't pay for the service.
Oh, so you don't.
No. So as long as you...
Airwaves are free.
They are. They are. If it's a, as long as the surroundings, the radio is strong enough to get you the coverage that you want.
So you're selling to, let's say, municipal police officers. You're selling the city a vehicle that they can use to communicate, and there's no monthly charge.
Well, that's a little different. That's when you're hitting repeater towers and things like that, where you have to transmit over large areas like the police departments. They need to be able to go.
Oh, so there is a fee for that?
There is.
Okay.
But I primarily deal with, like, your school system. Like, I'll give a janitor a radio, the head of school a radio, and they communicate within the confinements of the school. And that's usually strong enough to do without, needing repeaters or towers or anything like that.
Now, have they gotten smaller? Because when I think of my first cell phone was a Motorola, which, by the way, I liked. It was a flip phone. Mm-hmm. And when you flipped it, you knew you were off. Instead of now you call somebody and they accidentally call you back and go, what's that tinkle, tinkle, tinkle on? Yeah. I don't want to hear this. You know what I mean?
Little butt dial going on.
Oh, yeah, really. So it's like, that's great with Motorola. But I'm trying to figure out in my mind what this looks like today. Because I remember when I was a kid, you get into a taxi cab, they had a Motorola. You get into a police car, which didn't happen to me, thank God.
Those are all mobile radios. That's different than like a handheld. So when you walk into a restaurant and you see somebody wearing a little earpiece and a small little radio, that's what I do.
The president's about to enter.
There you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I got to supply when Trump was doing his rallies. I was supplying their rally teams with their radios. So.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to meet him?
No.
Oh, I would like to interview him. Yeah. I'd like to say, could you please just I will be your best friend. I am. I was the first one in this town to get behind him. Mm-hmm. I mean, and a lot of people now are Trumpsters. They were so resistant.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel very proud. And so he should give me an audience.
You never know. I would
be honest with him and say, I want to be your friend, but you got to put a guard at your mouth because people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Now, we overlook that because a lot of, I think, left-wingers think, how can you possibly get behind that guy? Because they're all with emotions. Mm-hmm. And I understand right where they're coming from. Because I interviewed General Colin Powell.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Sometimes I failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all faith. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace.